I must say.
I must say. You know what I must say? I must say that that was a show almost five shows ago. You are listening. You are listening to WSQF, the Lou and I and Him show. And guess what? Him is not here. You know what I mean? So, welcome to the new edition with the Nikki Haley-less or Haley-less leader roaming around, hurting the cause, damaging the brand. Who thought for a moment that you can actually defeat the Orange Phoenix? That's the thought of the day. You know what I mean? How in the hell are you, Lou? What is up with you?
Welcome, everybody, all listeners. Happy to be here.
Are you always happy to be here or just sometimes?
I try to be happy to be here.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have a showcase to spread our wisdom.
Yes, I was reading a quote today.
Yeah?
It's, well, you know, the world of memes. Mm-hmm. And I don't take the time all the time. I'm your typical guy who just sees a meme and takes it as fact when it could just be photoshopped or it could be just attributed to the wrong person. But basically what you are saying today, or this, what you just said right now, is in line with something that I valued today, which was a quote from Robert Frost. Half the world is composed of people who have something to say and can't, and the other half has nothing to say
and can
and keep on saying it anyway. So, welcome to Blink Radio, WSQF 94.5, where I paid to say whatever the hell I want. Live streamed on WSQFradio.com for the Lou and I and Him show. And Him, once again, is absent. So, do we go straight into your Star Trek episode fictitious article that you wrote for the American Spectacular?
Sure. Oh.
Sure. Or no, the American Spectator?
Sure, let's do that. I'll set it up. I've been writing for a while. I've been doing this column for 4 years, and thank you all readers who have popularized it. I'm very proud.
Remind the reader, the American Spectator is an online publication of conservative thought.
Yes.
Of the bravest and brightest minds.
Yes.
And every once in a while, a couple American Cuban show up and write as well.
Yeah, it's very good, incredible writing. I'm proud, very proud to be
on the staff,
to be on the team.
What do you guys call it? Team staff? What? Because it's not a newsroom normally. So
no,
it's not
no.
Really a
I
staff.
Mean, they have a news news people.
They have news bureau.
Yeah, I'm a cultural columnist, cultural correspondent, cultural war correspondent. I call myself
cultural war. Yeah, yeah. Well, because you do what very few people can do, which is connect
yes.
the art of the movie with the politics of its time.
The art of literature, the arts with light, with life. And
well, no, I said movie because I haven't heard you really pry into literature without associating with a movie that you're writing about.
Do
you do just literature?
Yeah, no, I do. I do the visual and the literary arts, basically.
Okay, but not since we did this show together. You've been concentrating just on movies.
No, I've written about books before. I've reviewed books.
You said them here live, like analyzed them, or always associated with the movie you wrote?
No, not at all.
Sometimes you plug in the books.
Something,
himself.
Nothing but books. I talked. There's a famous. I started one column with an apocryphal tale about Alexandre Dumas,
okay,
and Victor Hugo. Alexandre Dumas was they were both friends at the same time in France, and Alexandre Dumas was a writer of hugely popular adventure and stories: The Three Musketeers, The Count of Monte Cristo, The Man in the Iron Mask. You know, just huge. People just ate it up. Hugo was much more of a social justice guy, was Les Miserables and stuff like, you know.
Miserables?
Yes, Les Miserables. But they were good friends. And once upon a time, they were walking along the Seine, and they heard the bells of Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame was the setting for one of Hugo's most famous books, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, right?
Okay.
And Hugo said to Dumas, "You son of a, can you say
the, you can say bitch here?
You son of a bitch. I wish I could write like you and sell millions."
And so in other words, you wish you could speak like me and sell millions.
That I could write like Hugo.
No, said, I mean literally. You wish you could be like me.
No.
As handsome as me and talk like me, but just, write like you.
Just their books. Yeah. Just they're just talking about their books.
You want me to go back to France? Okay.
And Dumas
humble me.
And Dumas said to him, "You son of a bitch. I wish I could write like you and influence people and have something very important to say, you know?"
Ah.
And it was just a—it's
a—it was like a backhanded compliment.
It's a lovely story of you know two of the great you know.
They die at similar times, or one lived an old age, one died young.
I actually don't know.
Don't know. Yeah.
I actually don't know.
No, I can't honestly say I'm an avid reader of either because I haven't read either. But I only knew of their stories, and I didn't know much of them. So I'm like the average audience who's saying, "Thank you, Lou."
I'm very into literature, and as you well know. I have a novel coming out.
Go ahead, plug your novel,
I have
you freak.
A political thriller, very exciting, coming out this fall.
And am I in it or no?
Maybe.
Maybe.
It takes place in Washington, D.C., and the backdrop
is Hillary Clinton in the bag.
Is an election year in which the former president, ousted by the current president, is crushing. It's an election year, and the former president is crushing everyone in the polls. And the government, the regime, is freaking out because they know once he gets back in,
he's going to go after everybody.
All the forces that combined to oust him and lie about him, like
now on the chopping block.
Yeah, or like it's going to be like the French Revolution all over again, the guillotine time.
That would be fantastic.
And they will do anything to stop him, including murder.
Now, that's very uncool because he walks around with a red tie, our Trumpster. I always worried about that because the red tie can be seen from miles away. You know what I mean? It's not cool.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited.
So, in other words, you're not going to tell us the finality or the climax?
I know. It's a mystery.
Who done it?
Detective mystery.
Okay, cool. So that means you got to buy it at?
Its
title is?
It's called The Apocalypse Mask.
Ooh, the Apocalypse Mask.
Really excited.
That's basically
it's two private eyes, a la Maltese Falcon, Raymond Chandler, you know.
All the President's Men.
Mickey Spillane. Yeah, it's a combination.
Well, sorry, I just had to throw that one out there just because, you know. All right, so Star Trek Election Part 2, the Biden's brain.
Wait,
tell us what this article is going to tell us about.
I've long since going back to shows and movies, I've long since used Star Trek as kind of a parable, which the great writers, those guys were not, you know, they were not stupid geeks. They were ex-soldiers, and they'd been to war, and they'd seen men die, and they were great writers and readers of great literature, and they had something to say, and they used science fiction as, you know, the vehicle.
I always thought it was professing into the future.
The vehicle. Well, it's the present. It's their view of the world, their angst, their passions, you know, and you know, reflected, projected through a starship, you know, and a hero's like mythology, you know.
Oh, so yeah, in the case of Star Trek.
Yes, in the case of Star Trek. So I've been saying that there's an incredible reflection of Star Trek was real life because those guys knew what they were doing. And this year, it's an incredible similarity between their work and what's going on. And Star Trek can predict what's going to happen in November.
Wow, here we go.
Just a quick word from our sponsor.
Hello, Saver. Whether you're saving for that trip to the tropics or saving for
free plug for American
now
Spectator,
is the time to take advantage
WSQF
of
receives no money from this ad.
Wells Fargo offers savings accounts that can help you save towards your goals. So, what are you saving for? Visit a Wells Fargo branch or wellsfargo.com/save to open a savings account today.
Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
The Star Trek Election, Part 2, Biden's Brain. Like Captain Kirk in a classic episode, Trump must return to the ship and steer it clear. Captain Kirk, you have him on complete life support. Was he dead? Dr. McCoy, he was worse than dead. Captain Kirk, what do you mean? Dr. McCoy, Jim? Captain Kirk, come on, Bones, what's the mystery? Dr. McCoy, his brain is gone. From Star Trek, Spock's brain. Long-time readers of my writing here know how much I think real life reflects the brilliance of classic Star Trek, not the endless PC leeching on it that followed. Unlike practically anyone in Hollywood today, the artists who crafted the original series understood reality enough to present a moralistic, futuristic parable for it. They had served in war, seen men killed, saved lives, raised families, and read great books, concepts mostly alien to the imitative, ideological internet generations that followed. Before creating Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry was an Army Air Force ace with 89 combat missions in World War II, an airline pilot, then an LA cop, all jobs where no modern writer-producer has gone before. He and other contributors to the show used science fiction to project their imagination, vision, passion, and angst about the world into the adventures of one military starship exploring the universe while attempting to maintain peace. In Joe Biden's America, adventure, exploration, and peace are no longer futuristic elements but extinct ones. But Star Trek was their first. Read more from Lou Aguilar, Laura and the Feminist Illusion. 4 years ago, during the 2020 election, I warned in the American Spectator that candidate Biden was the personification of John Gill from the Star Trek episode, Patterns of Force. Gill was a once respected, now near mindless leader drugged up to appear physically and mentally competent in order to figurehead a new Nazi Reich. The real power behind Gill has formed a police state where resistors are shot or jailed. Sound familiar? Star Trek was their first. But too many citizens failed to heed my warning via Star Trek, and questionably elected Joe John Gill Biden president. The result has been predictably, lamentably, interminably catastrophic. In 4 years, we've had 13 service members killed and many more wounded during a disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, two ongoing wars, millions of illegal aliens pouring across the open border, an economy in shambles, normalized crime, barbarized major cities, political opponents imprisoned and/or persecuted, and dangerously short military recruitment levels. In Star Trek, Captain James T. Kirk inspired real men to join a space force. They used to say if man could fly, he'd have wings. But he did fly. He discovered he had two. Do you wish that the first Apollo mission hadn't reached the moon? This episode, Return to Tomorrow, aired in February 1968, more than a year before the first Apollo mission did reach the moon, or that we hadn't gone on to Mars, then to the nearest star? That's like saying that you wished you still operated with scalpels and sewed your patients up with catgut like your great, 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 great grandfather used to. Dr. McCoy is right in pointing out the enormous danger potential in any contact with life and intelligence as fantastically advanced as this. But I must point out that the possibility, the potential for knowledge and advancement is equally great. Risk, risk is our business. That's what this starship is all about. That's why we're aboard her. Compare Captain Kirk's inspiring speech to the one given last week by United States Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Bree Fram, a man who identifies as a woman. All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough. Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity. Because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, and discriminated against, so for all of you out there, I ask you to set out your symbols of pride, share your pronouns in your emails, particularly if you're a person who doesn't feel they need to. Fram's speech might swell military enlistment with the kind of people the armed forces needs, in a Star Trek, The Next Generation fantasy. Apart from his high rank in U.S. Space Force, Fram co-leads the Department of the Air Force LGBTQ+ initiatives team. The fact that the Air Force even has an LGBTQ+ initiatives team must delight war strategists in Beijing, Moscow, and Tehran. Yet it's a Biden administration priority. Because compared to vegetating candidate John Gill Biden in 2020, President Biden is Mr. Spock after an advanced alien female removed his brain. The season 3 opener, Spock's Brain, is one of the weakest episodes of the entire series. In it, the Enterprise crew searches through a solar system for Spock's brain, stolen by an alien with a technology beyond 23rd century human capability. Yet even this lesser episode anticipated Joe Biden who, like the brainless Spock, cannot function unless directed by remote control. Read more, The Conservative Writer's Block. There's one more political lesson that can be learned from classic Star Trek, which may predict the election result this November. In the episode, The Deadly Years, Captain Kirk gets relieved of command and replaced by an incompetent fool. Very soon, the Enterprise is surrounded by Romulan warships and targeted for destruction with the new captain at a total loss. What am I going to do? He whines to himself. Only Kirk's timely return saves the ship. Hopefully, another displaced leader's comeback will rescue the ship of state this year.
The Orange Phoenix. Now, Lou, on a post today, called it the Orange Dawn, well, as Mick and Nikki Haley was doomed.
I was making a reference, yeah. Which I don't believe you get.
I don't get, obviously.
There was a famous movie.
Well, there you go.
There's a famous movie.
Excuse the audience, excuse me, but Mac on the Rock has no recollection of all the movies.
Everyone listening to us will know this film because it's a classic. It's called Red Dawn.
The Red Dawn.
It was made in the 80s.
Sean Connery? No.
No, written and directed by John Milius. Total tough guy. Tough guy right winger who was always a maverick. He could still work in Hollywood back then. That was pre-McCarthy, cancellation thing,
Right.
But he worked on Apocalypse Now, Dirty Harry, incredible writer. And he wrote this movie called Red Dawn about a Russian invasion of America and how high school kids become the resistance.
But don't you find it, why don't you repeat your quote so that I don't misquote you?
What my text said
was,
Haley is down. There is no stopping
the Orange Dawn. Red Dawn.
In capitals.
So I have to stand corrected because it went over my head.
Orange and Dawn are capitalized. So a lot of people, like on Facebook, were like laughing and putting pictures of...
Yeah, other buffs like you who like the movies.
That's right.
I mean, it's not like I dislike movies. No, I just don't have recollection of the movies.
The frames of reference.
Yeah, I don't have... I just don't have it. Unfortunately, I don't.
That's fine.
I don't remember the movies I see, and I'm not a person to like snapshot either a jingle or an actual scene. You know who's like that? Like you would have a ball with? In person, of course. Senator Ted Cruz.
Yeah, he is like that.
With accents and everything.
Yeah,
he remembers
like
the characters.
And he loves comedy. He loves clown.
Yeah, he remembers movie scenes and what. Do you remember when? And I would be sitting there with him. I wouldn't be by myself. There was always other people in the room with me. And everybody could appreciate what he was saying. Yeah. I couldn't appreciate Jack Diddley Squat, except for him playing out the roles with the accents and everything.
No, he's great.
And I had to assume that it was really accurate. Okay, so now we go back. We go to Nikki Haley.
So it was just announced today that Nikki was dropping out and refusing to, and she probably will, but...
Will she talk to DeSantis before she talks to Trump, or will she just wait for Trump's call, or she'll make the call to Trump?
Why would she talk to DeSantis?
To find out, what should I tell Trump?
Oh, no, no.
No? No? You don't think so?
No.
You think DeSantis won't take the call either?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not...
You think she's burned her bridges?
I think so. I mean, I heard the...
What killed her relationship with Trump, I don't think it's reconcilable, is when he uses a name on her, called her bird brain.
Yeah, but he called...
Yeah, when you do it to a woman, it's not the same.
Well, maybe.
The sanctimonious, I think. Guys can get rid of name calling.
I'm tired of her. She showed her stripes, and I don't want anything to do with her again,
Well, she really failed America, and everybody who supported her also overlooked, was her getting accolades for bringing Chinese companies to South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's blasphemy, man.
Look, some people are...
I won't call it treasonous, but it's definitely against all conservative ethos to invite Chinese companies to your state for the sake of what, jobs? And get awards for it because you did it so well? Not cool.
I've already said that the only thing that will stop me from voting for Trump is her as VP. I would not vote for him if he chose.
I think at this point,
yeah, I don't think
he can bring a dog in for VP, and you got to vote for the guy. You don't have a choice.
I'd vote for a dog. I would vote for a dog.
Oh, because you don't consider her a dog. You find her attractive.
No. I have problems with some of the others. I'd have no problems with Vivek, DeSantis if he could get him, or
Because of the same state issue.
Or
that's a kind of a problem.
Byron Donalds or you know, any of those guys.
Well, unfortunately, notice what Nikki says. After inviting all these companies to her state, you know.
Yeah.
She gives, you know, it comes out in one of her town halls. I believe it was the town hall in South Carolina where she can't avoid the obvious, why'd you bring China?
Yeah, but, you know, they didn't have the stigma that they have now, deservedly, you know, deservedly. It was still, we're doing business kind of.
But that's how she replied.
I know.
You got to know China. If you're in American politics, you got to know. We do so much business with them. You got to know they're a bunch of commies.
I agree. They're horrible.
Price-fixing commies at that. They can guarantee you a price. I know because I'm a small business owner who buys from China, indirectly through the Ace Hardware Co-op. But we could never compete with Home Depot, who buys from China.
Yeah.
Either you buy the stuff from them, because we sold our soul so many decades ago.
Correct.
Or go out of business. And that's the quagmire we in. And I say this all the time. 97, 98, 9,900 products in my store, of which 4,500 of them are bought every 8 days, because those are the regular selling items. And there's only 4 products in my store made in the United States.
Well,
4 out of 90... I mean, out of 9,800 products. Understand that, folks, at the hardware level. I imagine it could be duplicated at the grocery level, too, lesser, because, you know, thank God we have American meat. That's being protected by the government, by the way, because they don't allow you to import meat from abroad, very limited amount of importation. There's a video I like to play of Nikki blaming Biden and Trump for the relationships with China. I don't see why this can't be heard. I don't understand it. Here we go.
Security and prosperity by far. It has stated its goal of diminishing American influence in the world and replacing it with its own. To meet this threat, there must be a series of fundamental shifts in our policies. Joe Biden has more than 18 more months in office. Mark my words. He's going to keep ignoring the Chinese threat. We'll have wasted 4 more years. President Trump was almost singularly focused on our trade relationship with China. He was right about our trade abuses. It was and still is a critical issue.
Ambassador Haley, speak to the parents out there. They're probably...
But Trump did too little about the rest of the Chinese threat. He did not put us on a stronger military foothold in Asia. He did not stop the flow of American technology and investment into the Chinese military. He did not effectively rally our allies against the Chinese threat. Even the trade deal he signed came up short when China predictably failed to live up to its commitments.
Ambassador UN, right? Okay, so
you heard that it was an Associated Press report.
Yeah,
and she wasn't the ambassador of UN because she wouldn't be criticizing Trump. She was serving him.
Yeah, she wasn't criticizing him.
She was criticizing Trump and Biden. So she was already running for office.
All right. Well, anyway, I want to talk about how the judicial system is saving America from the forces of darkness and leftism.
I'll tell you why they're not.
Okay.
Go, you tell you first. Shoot
all
from
right.
the hip.
Well, first of all, let's start with the unanimous decision that Colorado can't knock Trump off the ballot.
Well, it wasn't that kind of like, hello?
Nor can any state. Yeah, you say that now.
No, come
but
on.
But if you watch MSNBC and CNN.
Well, and I don't watch those stations to think they're valuable.
Right, but one should watch them. For two
They have zero authority.
No, two reasons.
One, the lower court, the fact that it rose to the Supreme Court level in Colorado tells me a lot about Colorado.
Right. No, Colorado is a
freaking. It's a
madhouse, like all the Like all the blue states.
Bro, that's a commie state.
They're all madhouses.
What makes you think a state can decide who's on the ballot?
Listen to me, okay?
The Constitution doesn't even say anything about crimes. You could be a convicted felon and run for president.
But listen.
Jesus.
This is the only sort.
Okay, so give me a better than the 9-0. The 9-0 is like, you know, come on, even the worst.
Will you please listen to me? The 9-0 decision. This is the only news.
The beautiful thing was that it was unanimous. Is that the point you were making?
No. I mean, yeah. I mean, that goes without saying. What I'm trying to say is why it's important and why it's important that MSNBC and CNN and all the lefty Washington Post were frothing at the mouth, believing or stating that that this was the end of Trump, because that these states, Maine and other states, California, could ban Trump from the ballot. Because it's the only source of news that 40% or more of the nation listens to and hears. So 40% of the nation who hate Trump were excited about these court battles that were going to get him and the ones that are going on now.
Do you believe that after all these years of poverty and human invasion, there's still 40% that hate Trump?
I'm saying.
I think it's only 40% of
40%
women.
40% that only listen, that will not watch Fox, will not read X, will not read the American Spectator. They only watch Rachel Maddow, The View, and all these things where the walls are closing in on Trump. They've been saying that for 6, 7, 8 years, right? 8 years. The walls are closing in. This one's going to get him. This one's going to get him. And a lot of people in the media and legal analysts were saying that the Colorado thing was the end of Trump, that it was legitimate constitutional, constitutional referencing that would get him, and they didn't. You're right. I mean, we knew that it was ridiculous.
My God, but it's we knew beyond insanity.
But these people,
we're a nation of states.
But
for Christ's
sakes. People
sakes.
Do not. I mean, they do not.
Yeah, they believe in the national government,
right?
Not in the government run by states. And unfortunately,
they believe in
because
what
of the Amendment 17 that we passed back in 1913, we took away the recall power for states to recall their senators. That has demoralized the country. Because 100 years later, you can see the effect. You can't get rid of a state, cannot get rid of a senator who's not put their state's interest in play.
Okay.
You see it all the time.
So that's one major one. So Trump is now automatically on all states, and they can't stop him. As somebody on MSNBC said, "Well, as the Babylon, as the Babylon Bee said, which everyone should read and get the Babylon Bee, which is one of the funniest.
Yeah, it's a good satire
magazine since Mad Magazine. It said, in a blow to democracy, people will not be able to vote for the candidate they prefer.
Yes. In a destroyed democracy or a blow?
In a blow to democracy, just following the leftist logic.
Yeah.
In a blow to democracy, people will not be able to vote for the candidate they prefer. All right. Apparently, and I haven't confirmed this yet, this just happened. It just came down, how this Texas said we want to arrest illegal aliens.
Yeah, and the federal court said they can't do that?
And then another federal court said that they could. I mean,
would be the consenting opinion for that?
Then the Supreme Court said, we're throwing it. No, you have to stop. You can't arrest people. We're throwing it back to the court.
But a federal marshal could.
No, nobody could. You can't. The state.
A federal marshal could arrest an illegal.
Yeah. Federal marshal. We're talking about Texas, state of Texas.
States can't.
Now, apparently, that just came down. I haven't confirmed yet that the appeals court, that the Supreme Court sent it.
And the Supreme won't hear it, so it's sent back to the.
They sent it back. Apparently, that court just said you can arrest people.
Meaning they flipped their decision?
Yeah, they flipped their decision just now.
I wonder, how in the hell does that happen? New information, or you think it's the Supreme Court saying, hey, you better fix this?
No, the Supreme Court definitely said
you got to fix this.
But they said you can't continue. We'll stop it. We'll pause the arrests, but you got to fix it.
So does that mean that they have to go to the state legislature to find a law so that the appeal?
I think it was just done is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to confirm.
Wow, I'd like to know the details of
me
that.
Too. I'll keep checking.
I don't know how I would search that to get a video play on that. Because after all, here on Blink Radio, live streamed on WSQFradio.com, If you get out of our radio range in your car, which is here down at Palmetto Bay from Key Biscayne, Bluetooth WSQFradio.com on your cell phone, Bluetooth it to your car, and hear us worldwide.
Well, I'm trying to confirm. Let me see if the latest on this, and there's more court decisions to come.
About the border and Texas' role. And now, do you have an opinion on the senator for Arizona who basically said she's not running for Ms. Sinema? She's not running for re-election? Do you have an opinion about that, or do you?
Sinema, no.
You just understand the writing on the wall.
She was.
So her last hurrah was this immigration bill that blew up in her face.
Yeah, she was going to. Did she vote? She voted for it, right?
No, she sponsored it with Lankford.
Yeah. No. That. Oh God.
Lankford used to be a solid guy. I don't know what became of him. He became a McConnell guy.
In 9-0, Amy Barrett, very shaky. I'm very disappointed in her. Very disappointed.
Oh, so then there's a knock on Trump, man. So he's.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have stalwart conservatives
on there. No, you never do. I mean, she's a chick, and chicks always go left, usually, generally.
So you believe that she was left in this particular decision? I didn't read her opinion on this decision that went 9-0.
She wasn't quite as... look, it was a 9-0 decision. Good on John Roberts for accomplishing that, you know. I have my problems with... was Roberts is a total squish, you know?
Yeah, that's a Bush right.
Of course it's a Bush thing.
Yeah, Bush is on a record. Both father and son have had real drips.
But
that's a real mark on a president, man, when you fail to put the justice in correctly.
Right. And
that's why Reagan was such a stud with Scalia.
And also identity, as I said, identity politics. We need a woman.
Did you hear what someone said in a Texas diner in the morning? She goes, I don't want a woman. Nikki's still in the race, right? Yeah. Today's Super Tuesday. How do you think it's going to go? The man says, I'm voting for Trump. And the woman goes, are you kidding me? You think I want a woman as president? She's menopausal. And they had to get off her right away. And that's not the first time I've heard that. I've heard that personally.
No, a
lot of women don't trust other women.
You couldn't say
when they had their hormones all over the place.
You couldn't have said that 2 years ago. But I think the right culturally is making a huge turn.
So, ladies... not that I want you to call in. Do you feel the need at this point to start having a conversation among yourselves?
I would love for them to
about
call.
How important it was to vote outside of your abortion issue and really sit down with ladies and say, hey, I think it's time to defend our country of our children. We got to make this country whole again. It can't be about abortion. Are you guys willing to have that conversation? Because you as a gender, and you can accuse me of being a misogynist if you like, but it's a fact that you have socialist tendencies that us men do not have. Now, we have a lot of men that are socialists, don't get me wrong, but they don't really, they're more hell-bent socialists, like they're never going to change. You guys have hope because, you know, you want the government to take care of you and stuff like that. And it's part of your nurturing quality of bearing life, which obviously we, no matter what a lefty says, we can't bear life. I know there's some of your friends out there who think that men can get pregnant, but it's not so. So we understand that socialist quality of wanting to bear and take care of your offspring, your children, you know. But it's not for government's role to be taking care of people, nor retiring them, as in Social Security. At best, Social Security should have gone. There should be a cutoff from 1964 onward. That includes me. That's why I use that year, 1964. That we have to pay into Social Security, but we don't get its benefits. The benefits should go straight to veterans of war. And we should take care of them if they survive battle. They shouldn't have to compete in the workforce with you and I after what they've gone through on the battlefield. And if they're wounded, less so. And it's a real blight to see massive amounts of people living homeless after fighting to defend us. That's so unacceptable. Any foreigner can come to this country and see massive drug addicts and homeless people and find out which one of them or how many of them were Vietnam vets, Iraqi veterans. I met one at a Starbucks during the Cleveland convention, Republican convention back in 2012 when Romney lost in the Obama reelection. And I remember day after, it was I think day two of the 3-day convention. And I remember me talking politics with a person at the table with me. We were getting heavy duty. It was my first conversion, African-American Democrat to Republican. He was African-American, and he was my first convert. I really got him to see the light about the lies and the thievery of the Democrats. And a military guy got butted in into the conversation, and he told us of the serious maladies. Yes, I can't pronounce. You know, I'm a brown guy, so some words I just mumble around. About the stuff that went on the base in Iraq, and torturous stuff in between one GI and another, conflicts between each other to the point of killing each other. You know, literally murder on bases. Between soldiers, American soldiers among themselves, simply for opinions or not having someone's back during the heat of the battle, arguments, you didn't cover for me, we were under serious attack, and then fist fights, and then sabotage at night, stealing their stuff, you know, regular human controversies, but in an armed troop scenario, you can see how that gets out of control. And these people have to come back to regular life and apply for jobs and go back to work after suffering or experiencing one side of this conflict or the other? No, man. We should pay for their retirement.
Well, in other news,
You sounded like a liberal. You're very flippant on the subject.
In North Dakota, the judge just said that Christians cannot be held liable to pay the transgender medical
affirmation surgeries.
Yeah, right. And that was a big
deal. We shouldn't have to pay for abortions
that,
either.
That was a big deal.
Remember when Chick-fil-A protested having to pay any type of tax for legalized abortion?
It's so un-American. I mean, it's so blatantly un-American to force individuals and companies to do.
Not only that, but incentivize it.
Yeah.
By making abortion readily available and free, you can see how there are a lot of abortions. I mean, ask Cubans. Cubans have a lot of women, lots of women, not just a couple, not here or there. I'm talking about more often than you think, there are a lot of women with multiple abortions in their life because there's just no other choice. It's the form of contraceptive in Cuba, and it's the saddest thing. It's another sign that communism is on your way when you're killing you're killing your future.
Well, it's more than communism. It's demonic. Demonicism.
It's demonic. And the women who have told me about having multiple abortions, they weren't telling me shameful about it either. They were kind of, hey, I had to do it. Hey, you know, very point of fact. And all of them were single women. And they all had multiple abortions throughout their teen and 20 years into their 20s and 30s. And I meet them. And I asked the question because, you know, I am Mac of the Rock, where I blink once, I said it, blink twice, you missed it. And I'm shameless about some of the things because the information is more important.
And finally, in other election news, apparently...
Look at this guy. This guy is something, man.
Apparently, a lot of the Texas...
Jeez, what a freaking tadpole. You're going to become a frog eventually if you keep swimming in a shallow puddle, man.
A lot of the Texan Congress people who, you know, who were squishes... just got trounced in the primaries, you know.
Oh, now that's a good story.
Yeah, that's a really good...
Yes. Yeah. That if you're prepared to talk about it, I would like to talk about it because, quite frankly, I didn't take the time to... Because I saw all the results, but I wanted to look... I should have done that today, actually.
It bodes well for November.
The only one that caught my attention was this pastor named Robertson who won his Republican primary... as governor of North Carolina, and I did hear some tape about him, and he was a pretty strong character. I mean, he was a very proficient, tell the truth kind of guy. I'm going to hold my opinions about him until I hear more about, you know, more video, and I'll come back with that at some other time. But are you in particular? Are you saying something in particular or any particular state?
Well, I'll read, district in
Texas that you talked about?
I'll read the story, okay? I shall read it.
If you can read. I'm not sure.
The shockwave rippled up and down the ballot as incumbent state House members, judges, and other state leaders were forced into runoffs or defeated outright. Texas voters on Tuesday handed more power to the insurgent wing of the Republican Party in an expensive and vengeful primary election.
Ooh, expensive and vengeful.
Punishing GOP lawmakers, judges, and a House Speaker who defied hard-right state leaders and their supporters in recent years. The shockwave rippled up and down the ballot. Most notably, Speaker Dade Phelan, R. Beaumont, was forced into a runoff with a well-funded challenger, David Covey, after being targeted by ultra-conservative donors and activists who faulted the second-term speaker for declining to stop the impeachment of attorney Ken Paxton.
Ooh, that's serious ethos there.
Democrats largely rallied around...
All right, so the audience, make sure that I don't get it wrong. The speaker failed to stop the prosecution of Paxton, which
right.
turned out to be false
right.
and ridiculous. And he was known to be a squishy rhino or a
squishy.
Or it's the far right guys who went after him.
The far right guys completely.
In other words, have some integrity.
Yeah.
Completely, why would you let this train leave the station?
And wiped out not just the Congress people.
Same thing to McConnell yeah. and all these people when they voted for the special prosecutor, they appointed Mueller. That was dumbfounding how Republicans acquiesced around the Democratic Party to try to prosecute Trump during his presidency. The saddest thing.
Six Texas House Republicans who fought Abbott's attempt to create a school voucher program, this is, in Texas, lost their primaries to pro,
school guys.
Yeah, to pro voucher candidates. That's a huge, six of them.
Big.
That's a huge deal. Voters also rejected three Republican judges from the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, state's highest criminal court, including presiding judge Sharon Keller, who garnered less than 40% of the vote. Paxton sought to oust the three judges after they ruled in 21 that his office didn't have the power to unilaterally prosecute voter fraud.
Hello? What the hell's the AG for? Jesus.
So anyway, it was a bloodbath.
Well, you got to go in front of the judge. Hey, this guy cheated on the vote. Of course, you got to charge the guy. Can't decide the case, but you got to charge. That's the problem in this country, man. Until we have killed the whole movement to eliminate voter ID in this country, we need a national voter ID law in the Constitution that makes sure that everybody who votes has to show ID. And mail-in ballots cannot be sent indiscriminately to the voter. It has to be requested by the voter.
Even though the Attorney General of the United States has said that he's going to try to stop that with everything
he's
got. I
saw that. It was being undermined as we spoke. I'm terrible. I posted
now,
it.
Now, what the Democrats are really freaking out about, and some, again, rhinos, is Mark Robinson in North Carolina, the lieutenant governor. Black guy,
yeah.
Really good, Christian, conservative.
Folks, and you just understand that he just ignored everything I said about 5 minutes ago?
No, I didn't.
He just mentioned what I had been talking about I just want you to know that I'm the visionary here.
About Robinson?
Yeah, and he just ignored me, and now he just repeated it.
You mentioned
well,
it?
Well, they'd rather hear from you than anyway, because after all, I'm Mac on the pebble here today.
I'm sorry.
I have low self-esteem, and I'm really hurt. And I don't write fictional books. I only write the real deal.
Well, that's a big deal. Apparently, it's a big deal, and people are freaking out about it.
Yes. Yes. I said I was going to hold my opinion until I heard more about him. I had seen him in the past.
Look, I'm not holding my opinion. Go, Robinson.
Yeah. If he knows anything about anything, then I will fully support him. I'm just happy he got on the radar screen and won the primary.
Now,
what's cool about the Republican primaries is that, for the most part, if you got a character flaw that is unacceptable, you usually get knocked out. Whereas in the Democrats,
you
get elected.
Right. But, okay, fine. Going back to Texas for 1 minute, a guy that I kind of like, but he was, just pro-Ukraine and kind of a jerk is Crenshaw.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, the one with the patch.
War hero, you know, and
brave. What happened with him in his primary?
Shaky. He may
He's in a runoff?
He's on the fence, yeah, you know, right now. They're
counting. Him and his $4 million he copped while he was there?
Yeah. So
that with that privy voting that he got?
What we're looking at, perhaps, and
how about Ted? How did Ted do?
Ted slammed. Yeah, slammed. I mean, wasn't even close. But what we're looking at, if I can read the mood of the country, is we're looking at another Argentina, another El Salvador.
Wow, that's hopeful. You know, that's wishful thinking.
I can feel it.
I think they're going to make Milei's bet for him. Real bad.
Yeah. Well, Malay's doing fine. He's hugely popular right now.
I understand.
And the El Salvador guy.
But they're already shooting down his ideas to
guard
the government.
And Elon Musk, they're trying to destroy, you know.
He's immediately reached out to Trump. Hey, keep the funding so I want to go to Mars.
Anybody who's
keep writing the jets.
They don't care. They don't care that this is the greatest visionary, you know, hero, almost a founding father in America, you know, keeping it together. And they don't care. That's how sad and pathetic and evil.
You're talking about the orange.
No, I'm talking about Elon Musk and you know, saving free speech, because without X, you know, forget.
He's trying
it.
To make space great
and sending men into space, outer space again, you know. And
well, like we said many times, the only human man to be born on Earth and wants to die on Mars, he can probably do it. Imagine Elon Musk's gravestone. I won't be around to see it, but maybe I can see it up close and personal. Who knows? I'd like to make a request up in heaven. Can I visit Mars, please? Maybe I'm higher than Mars. I don't know. I know that I was promised free DirecTV, so maybe I'll just be so consumed with that I won't have time to go to Mars. But it'd be cool to see Elon Musk's tombstone on Mars. He is the only man buried there. Pretty cool. And only he could say he could do it. Oh, and he could drive his Tesla, too, because he sent one up there, didn't he? Isn't there a Tesla floating around in space?
I don't think so.
I thought he sent a Tesla up to in space. Or did the Tesla come back? I thought he put it in one of those rockets. I don't know, man. I got to research that because I could have sworn that was the case.
Well, all that's left right now, okay, so Haley's gone. So all that's left right now is there are three things, whether... There'll be a debate. I mean, probably not. You know, probably.
If I were him, I'd just stay in the basement. It worked last time.
It won't work this time. It won't work.
I hope.
And two.
Razor blades and hand grenades.
The convention, and three, the VP pick.
Okay, I think the slam dunk is Governor Abbott. What's your slam dunk?
I don't see it. He's shaky. I mean, he's doing great on the immigration border.
Well, that gets Trump elected.
No.
Everybody knows.
Trump doesn't need Abbott for the...
Look at that huge electoral college.
Trump doesn't need Abbott for the immigration issue.
Don't tell me, Reynolds. You ready? Byron Reynolds.
He's
a Gomer.
Listen to what I'm saying. Trump doesn't need Abbott for the immigration.
Who's your slam dunk pick?
I've already said. Donald is one.
Donald's, please.
J.D. Vance, another.
Not ready either. Green.
J.D. Vance is another.
Both of them are green, actually.
Vivek.
Cornball doesn't know what he's talking about. Secretary of Treasury, maybe, only because he can learn, but...
Huckabee, completely boring choice, but...
She's cool.
But safe. Safe, but boring.
And loyal.
Yeah, safe.
And smart.
Safe, but not that smart.
Come on.
Not that smart. No.
She was in the line of fire for a bunch of Trumps here. She had to clean up his mess all the time.
Yeah.
Same but with McElhaney.
I would gladly.
What's her name? McElhaney?
Kayleigh McEnany.
Yeah, she was brilliant, too.
Brilliant.
There's never been two press secretaries back-to-back like that.
Well, no, but Kayleigh was a lot sharper.
No, and we had Dana Perino. She was sharp, too.
Yeah, for Bush.
For Bush.
Yeah. No, we had Tony Snow for Bush.
Yeah, we had Tony Snow, but he dies.
He died, yeah.
And then Dana replaces him. So when it comes to Archie, compared to talk about Bird Brain, the present press secretary, boy.
Oh, my God.
Talk about a bird brain.
I watched her today. She said, somebody said.
She looks like a lampshade standing there.
What was the question?
I can't believe I'm talking about Cookie Monster.
It was a question. And then she said, I can't believe you're asking, you know.
Hey, they're going to debate.
That the president who had the most successful first 3 years of an administration in of modern history, and people were just going like, what the hell's wrong with this woman? Dude, I've never...
Yeah, they're blatant liars.
I've never seen such gaslighting. I mean, it's not working, but I've...
Well, we can't blame, I think it was 15 to 17 senators who passed his infrastructure
no,
bill.
No, but the fact that they're just...
Gave it to him.
The people, by every poll, have already rejected everything they say about the economy, about, you know, and they say it, you know, it's the greatest economy ever.
Well, what would you attribute... Their biggest accolade upon themselves has been that the stock market is still rolling on.
Yeah, well, you know what Trump said about it.
I believe it's his tax cuts stayed in place.
Yeah, you know what Trump said about it. He said that's because they know that I'm winning in the polls. So,
yeah, of course he would say that. I think it's just because his tax cuts stayed in place.
Tomorrow will be very interesting. I'll watch that.
Hopefully he gets heckled again. I prefer. Screaming and yelling like I hear in the the House of Commons in London. I love how they scream at each other. That way there's no phony-dony stuff. Everybody stand up and give their opinion.
But those guys are sharp as anything. You know,
no, they come prepared because they come to scream.
You know, even like George Bush couldn't handle like that kind of
thing. Yeah, but I think that's the best way to govern. Let the people hear you guys argue screaming at each other. They rip into each other, and they're close proximity because the House of Commons is like face-to-face.
Unfortunately, the conservatives in England have destroyed that country, unfortunately.
Well, because they have Pinocchio, what's his name?
They just weren't conservatives. They just, people voted them in. They had it all. They just crushed it.
What was the homie's name who got COVID? Boris Johnson.
Yeah, but yeah. No,
yeah, he was a fody-dody conservative.
The chick sucked. The new guy sucks.
They got rid of the chick quick, man.
Yeah, the Indian guy.
The Indian guy.
But they couldn't even do Brexit.
Well, he came around to support the Jews.
Yeah, they suck.
That was pretty cocky of him, considering. Isn't he of Indian descent?
Yeah, he is.
But he's not Christian. He's, I think...
No, he's not.
He's Buddhist?
He's Indian.
He's not... But there are Muslim Indians.
Yeah, yeah, but no.
He's a Buddhist?
No, Hindi.
Oh, he's Hindu.
Yeah.
Okay, but not Buddhist.
No.
I'm confusing something there.
Buddhist is the Chinese.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Hindu, excuse me. Yes, I stand corrected. Yes.
And the...
Thank you for educating me. Can you write a fictional book about that, please?
No.
And I also want to star in it. I want to be the Buddha. Come on, man. And then you squeeze my stomach and quarters come out. Like a slot machine, you know what I mean? So, speaking of him, where is he today?
I don't know.
I think you do know, and you're not sharing it with us.
I just know.
You know, why does he say things to you that he doesn't say to me?
This is just a quick message saying we're on our
own. You know, I don't want to tell him because
We can handle the show without him.
Well, you know, you got a book to sell. Yes. I fully understand.
I've got a column.
That's what brings you here, you know?
That's right.
You know, it's not to really match wits with me. It's just stand down and push your book.
And please feel free to look at my other great books, Paper Tigers, Jake Vermeer. And
I have a complaint about the Paper Tiger. I already told you that was a terrible title for a book.
Well, read it.
Huh?
Read the book.
Do I get it for free? Because I'm a Democrat. I want a free book. Come on, man.
No, but you buy it and I'll sign it.
Ooh! Do I get like a discount?
No. I've got nothing to do.
I get a selfie.
I've got nothing to do.
You and me, and you signing the book.
I got that.
Damn, you got. I get a freaking selfie, man. All right, so we're pretty much done with the art of the deal, which is his winning every state.
Everything he's won.
But Vermont.
He's it.
So what should Trump do about the Vermont? Should he just cast him away? Did he not go there during the election, during the general election, or should he go there? And
he should go everywhere.
He should go to all 50.
He should go 50. Yeah, he should go everywhere. And
you think he could do the pace he did when he had COVID? Sick as a dog, day and night, giving Pete's sake,
you know, sharpen your message. You know, he's babbling.
The question is, can he?
He's babbling way too much, you know.
Yeah, but they can't get him off the stage or anything.
Right, but he's got to, there's so much he can say that he isn't saying, you know.
It could be that he can't.
Yeah.
He might be one of those guys who just has to be humorous.
That's why he needs Vivek.
No, man, that guy doesn't have political wits. He's just articulate.
The guy communicates like a...
Okay, but that's not political wits.
No, Trump can handle the political whiz.
I don't think so.
No.
Trump didn't do anything but appoint...
Can you imagine him against... Can you imagine Vivek against Kamala? Can you just imagine?
That would be a good debate. Eat her lunch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, from the sense of truth-telling and articulation...
I pay good money just to see that.
Vivek is on time in terms of his youthfulness and articulate.
Yeah.
But you still got to know what in Spanish is called hipotómetro. And I can't really say that word, but since I said it in a mumble, everybody who's bilingual knows what I mean. The backstabbing in the front that occurs in Washington, D.C., get it? Backstabbing, but in your front, you know, right in your chest. That is unique. Robert Reich made that famous quote, by the way, the liar-in-chief under the Clinton administration. Robert Reich said that, yeah, D.C. is the only place where they don't stab you in the back, they stab you in the front. And they'll cut out your heart if they can. That's where Trump failed America, by just allowing himself to be surrounded with so many people who didn't believe in his vision and sabotage his presidency. It's beyond return that he couldn't harness hardcore people to stay with him and close to him and not let any light be seen between him and his cabinet. So many people just disappeared on him or turned their back on him, or starting with... Remember General Kelly, who was his Homeland Security guy? That guy ridicules him to this very day. Bolton wrote a book how awful he was. Secretary Mathis talked all kinds of jibber-jabber. Who else? Jeff Sessions, my God, showed absolutely no character.
Oh, no, he was horrible.
And recluse himself from the very beginning on Russian collusion. Come on, he knew the origins of it. He knew it was Hillary Clinton the whole time. They all knew. My God, the whole racket. And the media doesn't even pay dearly for that misrepresentation and muckraking journalism they did against an existing president. And Trump, guess what? He doesn't have any time whatsoever to seek revenge. None. He only has time to make America great again. And hopefully he drops taxes to 1%. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would take the economy to the stratosphere. And hopefully everybody and their mother will realize, hey, if you got jingle in your pocket, seek the fold, okay? The idea is to have nothing in your pocket that makes noise. It's all money.
I want to end this closer to home with a big applause, two big thumbs up to our governor, Ron DeSantis. The University of Florida just fired 300 DEI, the entire DEI department.
That had 300 members?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
And Christopher Rufo got all the credit.
Well, not on this one. It's all Ron.
So Christopher Rufo, who never answers any of my messages to him.
Just think about a university just shutting down. I mean... Just so much money wasted on what the hell?
But why can't we do that with the Department of Education at the federal level?
Of course we can.
My God. I made a statement here as a concrete conservative in my original show, where there was a call-inner, someone who called in about the Department of Education in its early beginnings. And I just flat out, before you go any further, sir, why is it that every single president from Reagan on has wanted to get rid of the Department of Education and definitely not have it at the cabinet level position? Why is it that it never happens? And guess what? The answer was, well, I think it has to be an act of Congress. And it doesn't have to be an act of Congress. Any president can eliminate any federal department. Any.
No, but let's go back to UF for a minute. An entire DEI department fired. I mean, just fired.
DEI.
DEI. Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Total
communism.
Crap, yeah.
Egalitarian crap.
Yeah. And that's. Anyways, it's good news. And that, I can feel it. Unless. And the Democrats are going to try to pull a rabbit out of their hat, you know, somehow.
At the federal level.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how.
To do what in particular?
To win.
To win the election.
To win.
Yeah, they got Robert Kennedy out there.
And to stop.
If you see the media starting to sell Robert Kennedy, it's because they're looking for a three-way tie.
Yeah.
Biden wins by 2 points.
Kennedy's not going to help.
Well, you know what? They don't talk about his heroin addiction as a youngster. They don't talk about his appeasement to Russia as a youngster. They don't talk about his mom's dog named Che.
That was very funny by Bill Maher. It was very funny. I mean, just kind of ignorant.
Tell us. What does he say?
He said, he's just shouting about Biden. He goes, you know, Biden is so old. His problem kid is 54 years old.
His problem child.
His problem drug child is 54 years old.
Yeah, there was this guy who leads me to remember an X post that I posted on X. And there's a guy that really irks me. He worked for the Clinton administration. His name is John Cooper. You can see his tweets on johncooper.us on Twitter, X. And he says, and he posts it with a little cute little meme. And it says, Gaza must be freed from Hamas. Israel must be freed from Netanyahu. Ukraine must be freed from Russia. And America must be freed from Donald Trump. So I reply to him and I said, Biden cannot be freed from lies and graft. Hunter cannot be freed by Joe's pocket. America must be freed from Obama bin Biden era. American women must be freed from infanticide. American men must be freed from liberalism and secularism. Then the Orange Phoenix will rise.
Orange John, my friend.
You know what I mean? In movie speak, that's what I got to say. So let's just roll with it with Steve Winwood. We'll see you next
week.
Thanks
very much. See you next week.
See you. Be there. Be square. WSQF. Blink Radio for the Lou and I, number 29, by the way. If you like our programming on WSQF 94.5 in Key Biscayne, you can also hear us very far away nationwide, WSQFradio.com. And if you like our audio files and our subject matter, subscribe to YouTube, Mac on the Rock Rampage. Take care and stay free.